Welcome to the Water Channel Podcast, a series of conversations on water, food and agriculture. We feature stories and insights that are defining our present and are shaping our future. I am Abraham Abhishek. What distinguishes humans, Homo sapiens, from other species on the planet? Part of the answer to that question is the instinct and the ability to study the world around us through observations and experimentations, and to document the process and share it around and pass it down the generations. Or, in other words, science. Science is a big part of who we are, how we transformed from cave-dwelling or forest-dwelling social apes to a species that controls and shapes the world in a way that does a lot of good and a lot of bad. Science is how we understand the problems that we face, develop solutions to those problems, and in the process create new problems. Science is done by scientists, and these are not the same people who implement scientific solutions born in universities and labs in the day-to-day lives of carpenters, artists, businessmen, and social media influencers. Science diffuses into society through governments and enterprise, and this whole process takes place within an environment defined by policy. Now, all of this is kind of stating the obvious, but the point I'm trying to get to is that the interaction between science and policy is a very important process. This interaction happens organically, but it is also managed, guided, mediated, facilitated by organizations. We are talking today to someone from one such organization, from the IHP Committee, which is a science policy platform and which defines the Netherlands' priorities with respect to scientific research around water in international research programs. So Martijn, my first question is, science is science. Science happens at universities, inside laboratories, in classrooms. And policy happens presumably in government buildings, at the parliament, inside the department of this and that. So what's the connection between the two? How do these two worlds interact with each other?
I think they are very complementary, because if you distinguish between these two roles, scientists tend to very much specialize on something. Of course, there are also scientists looking at the bigger picture, but generally speaking, specialization, focusing on one particular topic or challenge, is really the domain of scientists. They have the time, the capacity to really focus on a topic, study it, and come with recommendations. Policymakers, on the other hand, I think have the additional value of looking at the bigger picture. Yeah, they are able to look far ahead in the future, also connect, for example, interventions in the water system with what's going on in other sectors like agriculture. So I think specialization on the one hand and the broader picture on the other, I think they can be very complementary.
Just to build upon your answer, let's take one particular area, say flood management. So let's say a hydrologist or a scientist from some other discipline that deals in flood management. They know the causes, they know various possible solutions. They probably even know what solutions are most suited for different contexts, for different hydrological realities. They seem to cover all the bases, all the pieces of the puzzle. So in the process of this flood management example, why and where does the policymaker come in?
Yeah, for example, if we look at the Rhine River, just next door as we are sitting here, there are many scientists conducting research, for example, on future discharge volumes, like how much water is going to flow through the river and how does that impact, for example, water levels and the required embankments. How strong do our dikes have to be? That is something that scientists are really good at, trying to find out exactly the details. But policymakers, they can look at the larger river catchment, or how certain interventions interrelate to each other. And then you talk, for example, about upstream and downstream effects. If you construct an embankment somewhere upstream, it influences the water level and the water discharge downstream. So that, I think, can be the added value of policy making, to look from a more general or holistic perspective at individual measures.
There is science and there is policy. Then there is politics as well, which surrounds everything that happens out in the world. So where does politics come into the picture? What is the relationship between science and politics on the one hand, and politics and policy on the other?
Yeah, that's a very interesting question. I mean, there are researchers that say politics is everywhere. And I think it is definitely surfacing in the water sector. And it's maybe interesting to distinguish between local, small-scale politics and maybe politics on a higher level, on national or delta level, for example. If you talk about local projects, where you have to deal with different interests, with different stakeholder groups, you see politics. Some groups, they want to work together and they want to oppose, for example, a new water management plan. But at the national level, you have similar dynamics, for example, connected to the international arena. Like what does country A want to do and how does country B react to that? There are many examples, for example, from transboundary water management or water management at the river basin scale, where you see those politics. If something happens upstream, whether it is damming water or pumping up groundwater, that has effect downstream. And there you see the politics between, for example, the nation states about who gets what he or she wants.
From what you're saying, it sounds like politics is not a bad thing or a dirty word, but just a part of the process that needs to be followed.
Yeah, I think a first important aspect is to acknowledge that politics are there, because it can also help you explain why certain things happen, or why certain groups oppose an example, or why other groups support a new initiative. The acknowledgement of the existence of politics helps you to understand it, but also to have discussions about how to resolve conflicting interests. So I think it's a factor that should be noted already from the start of water management projects.
Coming back to science and policy, how does science find its way to implementation? For example, going forward with the flood management example, how does a solution developed in a lab or inside a computer or in a university department make its way to a floodplain? Is there a building, a forum, where scientists and policymakers meet, perhaps exchange ideas over drinks, or talk in a formal way, where policymakers find out from scientists what they need to know to implement it?
Well, here in the Netherlands, there are different ways to do so. We have, for example, many national advisory committees that really advise about national water challenges. And typically, the central government or the ministries asks those committees or research institutes about their opinion or insight about a certain challenge. That kind of committee or platform becomes what people often refer to as a boundary organization, so representing a bridge between a policy challenge and a scientific insight that can help resolve this challenge. So committees, you can also talk about buildings or locations where these type of interactions take place. That is how we have organized it in the Netherlands.
Can you give an example of one such committee that you know of and one problem that it grapples with?
Yeah, on a national level, and I can also refer to some international examples as well later on. But on a national level, we have an expert committee to advise about drought, which is a topic that has not been very high on the agenda, let's say 10 or 15 years ago. But during the last years, we really see that the topic is getting more more urgent. We are experiencing droughts during the summer, but also during the spring season. So the central government has instated a committee to advise how to respond to this. And that consists of largely scientists, and they are thinking about solutions, how to, for example, hold or retain rainwater and trying to build up a buffer for drier periods.
To what extent does the general public care about the policy process or think about the policy process? And is it important that they do?
I think that That it depends a bit on the on the topic. At this moment in the Netherlands, we have a lot of discussions about nitrogen deposition. So then those type of political deliberations, they reach the headlines and everybody talks about it. But other sectors, they are also having similar challenges. There are certain policy challenges. People have to think about solutions, but they do not always reach the headlines. When you talk about the water sector, when you have high water events or periods of droughts, then those topics reach the news headlines and people see what are the pros and the cons of certain measures. Then they really feel the challenges that policymakers have, because if you take one measure upstream, it affects what happens downstream.
Could you talk a bit about the committee that you're a part of? As I understand, it is the mandate of the committee to strengthen the Science Policy Connect. Is that correct? And if you could then go on to talk about the committee in some detail.
Yeah, sure. We have such a committee. It is called the IHP Committee. And its specific purpose is aimed at the international community. So in the Netherlands, we have many committees with a national objective, but the IHP committee is really aimed at international collaboration. It is a science policy platform, which means we have representatives from government institutes, but also from scientific institutes. And collectively, they formulate what the Netherlands finds important in international water research programs, which are coordinated by, for example, the UNESCO or the WMO.
So at the moment, what does the Netherlands find important as topics?
There are several topics which we have prioritized. Water education being very much on top of the list. In the Netherlands, we also have a number of institutes such as IHE Delft, which really focus on water education aimed at partners and professionals in the Global South. But also topics such as stakeholder participation, transboundary water management. These are just some of the topics that we have been prioritizing. And what is maybe interesting to mention is that the UNESCO is coordinating a program called the IHP program, the Intergovernmental Hydrological Program. And this program has recently decided about its long-term strategic plan. So for the coming 7 or 8 years, this program is kind of stimulating or pushing new research projects directed at the topics that I just mentioned. So water education, transboundary water management, also the role of data collection and monitoring. So collectively, the Netherlands, but also all the other countries connected to the IHP program, we're going to work on research projects on those topics.
The IHP committee, its mandate is not to identify and address important Dutch water topics. And yet the Netherlands is very much involved in the committee. Dutch organizations play an active part in it. What are the incentives for the Netherlands, the government of the Netherlands, that is, and for Dutch organizations in general, to try and contribute to the international water agenda or to focus on southern partners? What's in it for them?
Yeah, there are various reasons why this is interesting for them. Well, first of all, because they can show what their expertise is. And that can be a very specific scientific topic or a certain model that they have developed, for example, for data collection or weather prediction. So that is what they can contribute in those discussions. And then discuss also with the international community to, for example, collaborate on making those models applicable to other regions. So by engaging in these international discussions, you have the chance to show your expertise, but also assist other countries, other partners in using your methods.
In terms of showcasing Dutch expertise, there is already such a thing as the Dutch water sector. There are organizations that are the face of the Dutch water sector that interact with the world on its behalf. The sector is pretty well branded, pretty well organized as a collective. So what additional value does a committee like yours add over and above the branding and collectivization that already exists?
Yeah, this IHP committee has a very specific niche in that sense, because it is a science policy platform. So it really tries to stimulate interaction and dialogue between scientific partners and policymakers. But even more important is that it is connected to the UN family, as they call it. So it is not working with individual countries only, based on a certain list of priority countries. But every country member of the UN, more than 190 countries, they are connected to this IHP program. So you reach a much larger stakeholder network. You reach audience that you had never thought of. You work together towards a common goal, which is often defined as the SDGs. So for example, SDG 6 is a very important driver, also SDG 4 if you talk about water education, for example. So that kind of describes the network that the IHP committee is operating in.
Just going back to the interface between the Dutch water sector and the rest of the world, for a long time, for several decades, the Netherlands was thought of as the custodian of a great deal of expertise in water management. That impression, that reputation has held for several decades, but it has been a long time. And do you think that in the interim, in the meantime, there has been some kind of change, some evolution in the kind of expertise that we have to offer to the rest of the world, the kind of expertise that we have in the first place?
I think that the Dutch water sector has invested a lot in their international activities, in the sense that the time frame that you mentioned, 30, 40 years ago, they were really world leaders, for example, in conducting research on new coastal designs, the effects of changes in river morphology. And at the same time, they had a very extensive international network of organizations involved in international development assistance. So through those networks, the Dutch water expertise could relatively easily spread out over the world, so to say. But if you compare that to our time, is that there are many other countries and institutes that have also developed and that they have also certain expertise. So that also changes the position of the Dutch water sector, I think. Instead of being less kind of promoting its own expertise, but more looking for alliances to discuss with other countries or institutes about expertise or commonalities. And what is also interesting to mention is that there is a lot of local water knowledge. And that before was not really prominently acknowledged. You could encounter it when you were working in the field. But I think that local water knowledge is should be acknowledged much more. So what the Netherlands or the Dutch water sector wants to propose, new ideas, new interventions, they should really connect to local practices and try to see how new ideas, how they would land in practice.
What's the role of the private sector in this whole science policy interaction process? Do you have private sector represented in your committee?
We have not specifically members from the private sector, but an idea that we have been proposing is to extend the IHP committee, so not only including scientific and policy actors, but also private sector actors, from the perspective of bringing in practice. So the private sector, but also NGOs operating locally, they really implement projects. So they have a lot of experience and things to contribute when you talk about, for example, project implementation. It's not so easy to do because, of course, being member of a committee also asks time. But it would be a nice way to not only think about solutions, but also think about the practical implications of projects. Is it feasible to implement certain ideas or not?
You have already partly answered this, but I would like to ask you to revisit this to give an overview of what are some of the activities, some of the concrete activities that the committee does.
I can mention a few of them. So first of all is an activity that is called VAMUNET, which is a network of water museums, and the Dutch IHP committee has been very instrumental in pushing for these ideas together with partners from Italy. I think it was 3 or 4 years ago that this network was officially set up. And it's a very interesting way to connect water challenges and potential solutions to a much broader stakeholder group, which is the common public. The common public visits museums, they can get inspired by water history, not only to know about the historic practices, but also to get inspired when thinking about solutions. And this network has now over 70 members all around the globe, so from Europe to Africa, to Asia and Northern America. That is one example, and another one is that the committee also works with young students. There is an initiative called Youth for the Rhine, and this initiative is intended to bring together partners working in the Rhine river basin, obviously, and start engaging with young professionals, with youth, about what they think about improving water management on the Rhine basin. And I think that without our committee, these kinds of initiatives are, would have been more difficult to initiate. Because of our committee, we have kind of established international networks, which makes it fairly easy to start discussing these ideas and in the end try to really implement them. Very interesting to reflect a bit more on how, let's say, countries in Europe, in the Western world, so to speak, can support other committees. As I said, we have this IHP committee that represents the Netherlands, but every country in the United Nations has such a committee. And we see quite a large difference between, for example, the number of committee members, the amount of time and capacity they can dedicate to it. I think it's interesting to see how we could also assist other countries in setting up their science policy platform to try to address their water challenges from both scientific but also political perspectives.
Thanks, Martijn. Thanks for talking to us. Thanks for helping us begin to understand how science interacts with policy and how does government and other organizations try and facilitate the process. If you want to know more about the IHP committee that Martijn is a part of, what kind of work they are doing and so forth, please click on the links in the show notes.